Look in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, let's read verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather around your word. Thank you so much for giving it to us that we could have resource, comfort, strength, guidance. Lord, thank you so much that you've left us your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless this day and, Lord, that in everything that we do here, that your name might be magnified and glorified, that you'd get all the credit, that you'd get all the glory, that you'd get all the praise. Lord, we love you. Just suit a blessing here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I was going through some old outlines, and I found this verse, and this verse has always struck me in a particular way. We find that in this particular passage right here that we get a lot of good advice. In fact, I was talking with a guy just the other day, and he said that out of all the book of the Bible, he loved to read the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes were his favorite part, and that was about the only part that he really read. And, you know, the Beatitudes are great. There's a lot of good advice here. Of course, you know, we're dealing with the law here. We're dealing with a lot of commandments here, and so if all you've got is the law, to me, there's not a lot of comfort in that. If all I had was the Ten Commandments, that would not bring me much comfort. You need the whole counsel of the Word of God. But in this passage right here, I'm not going to particularly preach the message of the Beatitudes, but just to take the thought that he's giving here. He said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It carries the idea of an intense desire here. There's probably no feeling, no desire of man that's greater than hunger or thirst. Maybe we don't know too much about it here in the States. You know, we're all pretty well fed and we don't get thirsty very much. My kids sometimes think they're thirsty. Last night, my little girl, she said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I said, okay. So I sit down a hamburger before and sit down some fries. You know, I'm one of those parents that fills my kids up with the fat. You know, I don't always give them the grain and all that stuff. And she took three or four fries, and she took a little bite out of the meat, and that was it. She was done. I said, man, you weren't very hungry, were you? But she was hungry, man. She was just every 5 minutes. But, you know, I don't know if we really understand, but how I'm telling you something. That was, to me, was absolutely insane. I thought I would be holy and spiritual and fast. And what I didn't realize was that I had to, you can't work, you know, 10 hours a day manual labor and fast like that. Your strength just goes. By the third day, man, I was irritable. I was snapping at people. I was mad. You know, I was daydreaming of food. You know, I just, there was no lust of women in my mind during that 3 days, I guarantee. It was all food, every bit of it, you know. I wanted food. And so when I broke the fast, I broke it at Bill Miller's, you know. And man, I went and got me the rancher plate, you know, and went up there and I got onions about that high, and I took all the bread they had in there and stuck it on there. I was hungry, man. I needed some food. I had this desire for food. You know, that's a strong desire to have. That's a tremendous, intense thing. You know, there have been times when I've been thirsty. I remember one time in the military, we were out on maneuvers and they didn't bring the water truck around. Man, we were getting so, my mouth was so dry, you know, and you're getting headaches, you know, we're getting dehydrated, and man, I was thirsty. You know, that's something intense. Think about it when he said, when he uses this phrase to describe this desire. He said, blessed, he didn't just say desire. Blessed are they that really want to have righteousness. Blessed are they that have this want and this desire and this longing within them. No, he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then he gives a promise. He says, for they shall be filled. And that just caught me, you know. If one of your children stopped eating, would you be worried? Of course. Any parent would say, yeah, of course I'm going to be worried. Now, that's not including the kids that just naturally pick like birds, you know. I don't know how they grow, but they grow, you know. Some kids they pick, but they still grow. But if a kid just stopped eating, you'd think there's something seriously wrong. Whenever one of my kids stops eating, you know the flu is coming on, you know. Whatever's in there pretty soon is going to be coming back up because their appetite is gone. And all of a sudden, they're going to be sick. It's not natural not to be hungry. It's not natural to not be thirsty. It's something unnatural, and so it's a sickness. And in our Christian life, it's not natural not to desire the things of God. When you don't desire it, when there's not that longing, when there's, and it can vary in intensities. I'm not saying that we all have to constantly pine away. But if there's not some hunger or desire or feeding there, then spiritually, it means that there's something wrong. Look at a few verses just with me for a few minutes. First of all, look at Psalms 106 and verse 15. Psalm chapter 106 and verse 15. All right, let's back up actually to verse 14. We'll read 14 and 15. This is speaking of the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. And it says here, but they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Now, without taking the time to go back and research back into the Old Testament and find out what they're talking about, I'll just bring you up to speed on it. Basically, they were wandering through the wilderness, and what was it that God was feeding them with every day? Oh, it was that manna, wasn't it? Man, every day, a miracle of God. God sent them food for them to consume. And it wasn't long before they got tired of that manna. I don't know why they got tired of the manna. The Bible says it tasted pretty good, and you could do a lot of things with it. And I'm sure that the Hebrew wives, they were thinking of all different kinds of ways to prepare manna for their guys, you know. Manna, different ways. Manna fried, manna bread, manna. You could beat it up. You could turn it into powder. You could make bread out of it. You could eat it just like it was. I mean, there were all kinds of things, and it was good. It kept them going in the wilderness. It's amazing we look back on it that they could actually say, manna. You know, Lord, isn't there anything else we can eat besides manna? Come on, you know, there's something else besides manna. And of course, they had other things. They had oil and they had different things. They had spices. They could jazz it up and kick it up a notch, you know, like that guy says. And they could do things with it. But the thing was, is they started despising the manna. They weren't hungry for it anymore. It didn't seem like it really appealed to them. And so they started asking the Lord, Lord, we want meat. We want meat. We don't like this manna anymore. And the Lord, he answered their prayer. He sent them quails, and they started eating quail like you wouldn't believe. And they ate it, and they ate it. Notice how he phrases it here. It didn't say that they got sick of the quails. It said he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They began feeding on something else other than what God provided for them. And they thought that it was going to satisfy them. They thought that it was going to fill them. But it didn't fill them. It just absolutely made them sick. And the thought that I had, and I'm not going to be following any specific outline to just give you a few thoughts this morning. The thought that I had was that how many times do we as Christians, God has put in us a natural hunger and a desire. And he said, blessed are they that do hunger and desire after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we take that hunger, when we take that desire, And we try to fill it with something else rather than what God has provided. In this case here, God provided manna. He gave them quail instead. Let's look at another passage. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Well, they got two mistakes here. Number one, they forsook the Lord. Now, interesting, look at the description that it gives of the Lord right here. It's a fountain. You know, when you think of a fountain, you think of something that's always available, something that never runs dry, something that that never disappoints. I mean, it's a fountain. It's something that continually bubbles up. It's fresh. It's not stagnant water. They not only rejected this fountain and put it aside after having experienced it, after having known the grace of God, but then they turn around and they hewed them out cisterns. Now, a cistern is a, it can be small, it can be huge. It's something that holds water. It stores water for a later date. And they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now, carry this imagery through for a minute. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters. But obviously, they're getting thirsty again. Obviously, that thirst and that desire is still within them. There's something, there's a need inside their soul that has to be met. So instead of going back to the fountain of living waters after they get thirsty again, they take this container that the Bible says is broken, it can't hold any water, and they fill that thing up with water. And of course, if it's broken, what's going to happen? You come back to it later on and it's dry. It needs to be filled again. It can't hold any water. It's amazing to me how they could possibly substitute something so glorious and something so grand and something so fulfilling and something so satisfying with something that cannot satisfy for a moment. But they did. And they went to those broken cisterns. And they tried to get their satisfaction, they tried to get their substance out of that, rather than out of the living waters. Now, is there any application spiritually? Can you catch the application that I'm getting to? He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I got several different lines that I want to take it to. The first is when you don't have Jesus Christ at all. You know, there was a point in time where I remember hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I remember that point. I remember trying to be good, and I wasn't good. I remember trying to be righteous, and I wasn't righteous. I remember having a desire to be better, to be cleaner, and not being able to do it. Is there anybody else besides me that's ever tried to turn over a new leaf, you know? Ever tried to kick some habit? Ever tried to make things better? And you think that somehow it's going to satisfy you? Well, you know, it doesn't satisfy. Turning over a new leaf doesn't satisfy. Look at the book of Isaiah in chapter 55. Excuse me. Isaiah 55. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." You know, that's the great thing about the salvation that Jesus Christ provides. It's open to everybody. It's no big secret. God wants everybody to know. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." The salvation of Jesus Christ is free. Amen. Thank God we don't have to pay for it. Thank God we don't have to earn it. Thank God we don't have to merit it in some kind of way. It is free. It is there for the taking. God has provided it for you. And let me tell you, if today you are not saved, you're not born again, you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, let me tell you, the salvation of God is free and it's for you and He's offering it. And it is better than any broken cistern. And that longing for righteousness that you have, it can only be fulfilled. It can only be satisfied in Jesus Christ. He gives a question here. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, what's the connotation here? The connotation is, if you go anywhere else other than Jesus Christ, you're still going to be hungry. Have you discovered that about the flesh and about this world? Have you ever tried to find satisfaction in something other than God? I was passing by the other day in the hill country, and I was passing over this road, and down in the little valley below was a golf course. And I mean, you saw those guys, they were in their church. That was their church. You know, you saw them guys, they were doing their stretching exercises, you know, and they were up there, you know, doing this and practicing. And I'm sure for some of them, it was just a nice little fun game. You know, you do it a little bit here and now and then. But you know, there are some people that absolutely worship and live for that game. I'm nobody in this room, but I mean, there are some people that absolutely it's all consuming to them. What is it? They're trying to find some satisfaction, trying to find some kind of fulfillment. There are 100,001 different things in this world that we could look to find fulfillment. Man, that's one of the amazing things about this world. There are so many things to do. I mean, things that aren't sin. Golf isn't sin. There's a lot of things to do. I mean, things to spend your time, things to spend your energy. You know, I think that's why our gospel is not being listened to. It's because people have too much. God gave them their request, but He sent leanness to their soul. The more and more you search for meaning in life outside of Jesus Christ, the more empty you're going to become. Amen. The more and more you look for fulfillment, I mean, talk to people that are on their deathbed and you will learn what's important and what's not. There are some people poor. I mean, just, I feel sorry for them. They spend their entire lives working for a corporation. I mean, day and night, they've lost their wife. Their children despise them because they're at work so much. And they get down to the end of their life, and what do they have to show for it? They have some money in a 401k, and they've got a little gold watch that they got when they retired. And they realize then how empty, how vain it was. You know, you get somebody down at the end of their life, you know what you don't hear more people saying? Man, my life, it passed by so quick. I should have spent more time at the office. Man, why didn't I spend more time at the office? You ever hear anybody saying that? No way! It's not true! That's not where fulfillment lies. That's not where our satisfaction is. And if you're using things of this world to try to feed your soul, it's not going to work. Oh yeah, we've got a hunger and a thirst inside of us. And God created it that way, but so that we could find satisfaction in Him. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Jesus Christ knows what your need is more than you do. That's why if you're not saved here today, I'm going to tell you from personal experience, there is no satisfaction like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'll tell you specifically why. It's because there were several things that I needed satisfaction in. I needed satisfaction in forgiveness. I needed to know that I was forgiven. You ever read Psalm 51? Psalm 51 is a tremendous psalm. It's a tremendous psalm. Because, and look at it real quick. Psalm 51. Oh, that's Isaiah 51. No wonder it didn't look right. Psalm 51. Now, Psalm 51 is written by a king who has committed adultery. He has let his guard down and followed after his own lusts. He is also guilty of murder. He's also guilty of cover-up and a host of other sins associated with this. And what did the verse open up with? It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." I mean, there is an intensity here. You read this, and this is no, "Bless me, Lord, for any sins I've committed and the ones that I don't even think I've committed. But anyway, Lord, bless me and forgive me my sins." You know, that doesn't sound like the prayer of a person who really needs forgiveness. This guy, look at how he goes on. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." There is no bragging here. "Oh, you desire truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." Do you feel that longing that he has? That desire that he has? There's something in his heart. And that's why I like reading the Psalms, because what I can't verbalize about what I feel, many times the Psalms do it for me, you know? And you're reading there, and here is the picture of a man who has an intense hunger and a desire. This is an all-consuming passion with him. He needs to be forgiven of his sin. He has embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed the kingdom. He has brought shame to the Lord's name. He has brought shame to his own personal character. He's caused damage to his sons. And the different things that he's done are going to carry consequences for years down the line, and he has this intense desire. You know, I'll tell you the real sad thing about this is that right now here in San Antonio, there are a lot of men that are in the same position that David is. They've cheated on their wives. They've committed adultery. You know why? Because they wanted something to satisfy. And you know what they're finding out? Some even just right now. That committing adultery does not satisfy a single thing. It just compounds your problems and it deepens your longings. And so what do? They say, man, and so there are some guys that they just get deeper and deeper and deeper into their sin. They start running out here and they go over there and they pick up this pornography over here and they do whatever they can. And what they find out is the more and the more they try to drink, the drier and the drier they become. Do you know there are a lot of men in this city tonight, this morning, that need the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has? But the only way they're going to find satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. You know, I have been in the place where I have needed forgiveness before. I'm sure you have too. What does it feel like when you get it? What does it feel like when the Lord actually heals the wounds? He actually takes away the guilt and the shame. And he cleans you and he makes you whole. I mean, that is to me the best feeling in the world. When I have disappointed God and I've disappointed myself, when I've said something I shouldn't have said, when I've had a fit of anger that I shouldn't have done, or whatever it is, or have gotten deceived into some sin, man, what a blessed thing it is to be able to come to the Lord. God wants us to have that desire and that intensity for him. There are times when we desperately need satisfaction in the area of forgiveness, and the Lord can provide it. That's why he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We've got a choice. We can go to that fountain of living waters and we can receive what we need for our soul, or we can keep on going to the broken cisterns. You can run around and spend your time and spend your money trying to cover up your guilt and your shame, or that restlessness inside of you, and go out and buy this and spend on that and get involved in this. And there are some guys that are in so many different clubs, you know, and they're in this over here and they're doing this over there. And it seems like constantly they're just running, and they're going to run right up to the end of their life. And they don't even realize that that's not what life is all about. All this stuff, life is about Jesus Christ. Amen. The most satisfied man in the world is one who knows where to go to for his nourishment. One who knows where to get his feeding from. You see, we all need food. We know how you eat by how you appear. We know if you're on junk food, and we know if you're eating real healthy. I was talking to a surgeon one time, and he says it's unbelievable the kind of stuff that he sees in your abdominal cavity depending on how you eat in your lifetime. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Hey, we can eat healthy, or we can eat junk food all day long. Isn't it interesting? When a country is starving, what is it that they start sending to that country? They send rice, yeah, they send rice, and I don't know if they send beans, but yeah, they send rice, they probably send grain, they probably send wheat. I mean, wheat is a major, major commodity. Nobody in the world could live without wheat in some form or another. They send wheat, some kind of bread. They don't send Doritos to Somalia when they're starving. Those cheese puffs don't go out there in crates, you know? You see them guys, and they break in, the rebels break into those storehouses, and they carry those things out, and they're carrying bags of rice and bags of grain on their back. They know what to eat. They're starving. They're emancipated. They need nourishment, and they need food. And they know exactly what kind of food to get, too. Well, you know, we ought to know better. We ought to know where to get our nourishment from. Our nourishment doesn't come from anything other than God. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, Jesus Christ said in another place that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. I don't know if we've learned that. You know what I know? That material things do bring a level of satisfaction. It's fun to buy stuff. That's why we all like to buy stuff. It's fun. That's why we get credit cards. That's why we shop. That's why we consume. It's fun to buy things. And buying things actually brings a certain level of satisfaction. You buy a new car, you know, it just feels good. You know, you're just driving down the road and you got that new car smell and you want to continue it. So you go down to AutoZone and you buy a little spray can that's new car smell, and you spray it in there so it keeps on smelling new, and you like that. But how long does that satisfaction last? At some point in time, those valves are going to start clicking. At some point in time, that paint is going to get scratched, and that satisfaction kind of goes away. Well, it ought to tell you something about the satisfaction that material things can give us, is that they are only temporary in nature. They're not permanent. They're only temporary. Why would you forsake the fountain of living waters and take a temporary container to find our satisfaction in? I'd say own whatever you can own and buy whatever you can buy, but don't carry too many, don't lift your expectations too high, thinking that if you can just somehow get that house or somehow drive that car. You know, if you've got a Humvee, I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry. Humvees don't bring satisfaction. They might keep you alive on the road, but it's just a car. It's just a thing. Jesus Christ says, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. So what is? Where is a man's life consisting in? What is it that we are to live by? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I don't know a single person who, when somebody that they love very deeply passes away and there's an emptiness there, that they go out and tenderly hug their car for comfort. Doesn't happen. Material things, they don't bring comfort. Oh yeah, maybe for a little while they're enjoyable. Where does our comfort lie? It comes in the lover of our soul. Amen. And where do we draw that comfort? We draw it by opening the pages of this book and finding rest for our souls. Amen. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're hungering and thirsting after things. You're hungering and thirsting after a football team. You're hungering and thirsting after other things. You know my prediction? You'll end up at the end of your life very, very empty. Why don't you take that hunger and that desire and seek after God's face instead? You know, there are so many things in this book we need to know. So many things that bring us strength. It's amazing to me. How is it that we spend so much time and never go into this book right here? Oh, well, you see, I'm not a very good reader. I just don't read very well. Boy, you sure blaze through the newspaper. You guys that don't read very well sure do a lot of reading when the Sports Illustrated hits the newsstands. You know, you read every article. You have memorized all the names of all the players. I go over to my in-law's house and watch them watch football. And they know the life history of all the quarterbacks. They know who they were, when they were hired. There's no excuse not to know God better. You see, we're going to be with Him for an eternity. Do you realize that we are going to know Him in an intimate way for all eternity? And it starts right now. Amen. Some people come to church and they are so tired. They are tired of the preaching. And they're tired of the Word. And they're tired of the fellowship. You know, is it the preaching? Is it the Word? Is it the fellowship? Is that the fault? Well, in certain cases, maybe. You know, maybe the preachers ought to be more inspired. Maybe certain things need to happen. But if you find yourself not hungering after the Word of God, if you can go weeks on end without drawing any kind of resource, any kind of inspiration, any kind of comfort, any kind of strength out of this book, then something is wrong. You're sick and you need some help. And you're going to starve to death spiritually. You're going to be just like those ones in the South Africa, in the North African countries that are starving to death. And they are so emancipated. And you look at them, man, and you watch those commercials that they try to raise money to help them. And it just breaks your heart to see somebody that could be actually in that condition. And yeah, your body is fat. And your body is healthy, and your body is full of Cheetos, and your body is satisfied, but your soul is longing. You know, if you hungered and thirsted after righteousness, I think the open meetings would be better. Amen. You know why? Because it wouldn't be the same one or two that prepare a message. You know, it is such a blessing when somebody stands up in an open meeting and they don't give 3 points in a poem or 3 points in a prayer, and they just simply tell something that God has done for their heart or for their soul or how a verse has touched their heart. You know what a strength that is? I mean, we need both. We need all the dynamics. But you know, if our souls were being fed, then we would have the ability to feed others also. That ought to be our desire. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at the book of Luke in chapter 15. You know what? Stop there. I want you to go to one more verse before I take you to Luke 15. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him.
Amen.
You know, this is like an invitation. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. If you have any doubt that this food is good for you, you have any doubt that Jesus Christ has the capacity to bring you what your soul needs, then put Him to the test. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know what I know about food? I know that there are acquired tastes, and taste is not genetic. It's the certain genes don't tell you that you're going to like certain things. It goes by culture. Everything is an acquired taste. You go into another country, you go over to Japan, and they eat raw fish over there. They eat sushi. I mean, they just slurp that stuff down. To me, oh man. Come on, put some flour on it, throw it in some butter, fry it up, you know. I'll eat it. But don't just slurp it down raw like that. That's disgusting. It's gross. But it's obvious they love it. You go down into Mexico, you know, they swallow those hot peppers and they get those tamales. Brent took me one time on a reunion with one of the churches and the ladies, and after I had done my best to eat everything they'd given me, just like they told me to do, they came out with this big, huge banana leaf about this big, and in it was this green, slimy tamale across the whole thing. It had been done in the fire, you know, and the guys, they started getting in, and everybody just kind of reached their hand in and got a bunch. And started eating it. And Brent says, you're going to offend him. Go ahead, eat it, and you're going to offend him. I says, okay, I'm going to offend him. Ask him for forgiveness. Tell him I'm heathen, whatever, I don't care. But I'm not eating it. And Brent, he digs in there and eats it all the way back to Leon. Brent's like, pull over, please. I said, Brent, you shouldn't have eaten it, you know. Hey, it's an acquired taste. Those guys were eating it. It was no problem for them that it was acquired taste. I've served people Polish borscht before. And they're like, oh, nasty. How can you? Well, you let the milk and the oatmeal ferment first, and then you put it in, you blend it up, you know. And they're like, oh, nasty. But it is good stuff. It really is. You laugh at my borscht, but you got some weird menus in your recipes, too. Recipes in your menus, I don't know. But here's why I say this, not just to be funny, but to make a point. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There are some people, they look at this Bible, they read it, they go back and they look at Sports Illustrated, or they look at something else, and they see all the things, and they say, you know what, the Bible just, it just doesn't do anything for me. That's why I go over here. That's why I follow this sport. That's why I get my enjoyment out of this or out of that. You know, that's why I'm playing golf on Sunday mornings other than going to church, because going to church just doesn't do anything for me. There's no acquired taste is what it is. You know, marketers have understood for a long time the taste of men. That's why they make potato chips taste the way they do. They taste good, you know? I can eat a pound and a half just in one sitting and dare not try to count the calories. But man, you can just wolf those things down and chase it down with soda and all kinds of stuff. And man, it tastes good. You don't do that with bean sprouts. You don't do that with cabbage leaves, you know. But what's better for you? Well, the potato chips, they're going to make you pretty anemic after a while. And it's probably good to eat some good food. You know what I found out? That if you start eating some good food, you get an acquired taste for it. You start liking it. You know, I like vegetables. Vegetables are good. I've always liked vegetables. Why? Because when I was little, my mom would give us fresh vegetables as snacks. Instead of having, you know, the potato chips and the popcorn and all that kind of stuff, that was every once in a while, but she would give us carrot sticks for snacks and celery sticks with peanut butter on them. You know, that was good food. You got to get an acquired taste. You know what I would say is, don't compare the world with what God can offer just based on your senses, just based on your on what you experience right then and there, because there is a difference between the temporal pleasure of this world and the permanent pleasure of God. Never make a mistake and thinking just because what the devil has is so much fun right now that it means that it's going to bring you the same lasting satisfaction of what God can provide. If you give yourself to alcohol, just as an example, oh, for the present time, you might do real well. It's a lot of fun to sit around and drink beer. It is a blast, you know. You crack jokes and things that weren't funny before all of a sudden become funny, you know. And people that weren't popular before become real popular. And you get all kinds of different... And as long as you buy the beer, you got friends and you got everything. But, you know, when they show them guys sitting around that fire, you know, and they've all got their Michelobes and they're all sucking them down and saying, it just doesn't get any better than this. They're absolutely right. It doesn't get any better. In fact, it gets a whole lot worse. Here's some things they don't show you. They don't show you the guy with his head over the side rail puking up his guts because he drank too much beer. You don't see the other guy. Well, I don't give too many examples, but you get the picture. You don't see the guy like I saw down at a rescue mission when me and Greg Reese were preaching one time, and he started going into tremblings and shakes, and he said, I'm cold, I'm freezing, and we helped him up out of his chair and stopped the message and took him back out. By the time we got him back to the back porch, his heart had stopped. He had stopped all functioning and all breathing. Or, man, what's wrong with him? What's going on? And we pull out this bottle of rubbing alcohol that was almost two-thirds gone. There's a man who's not getting any satisfaction anymore. Maybe for the first while it satisfied him and it was fun and it was good. But then it doesn't bring satisfaction anymore. You know, this world's got a lot of stuff like that. It's fun, it's neat, it brings pleasure, but it's not lasting pleasure. That's why he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'd like to close with that promise. They shall be filled. I don't know anybody that's ever sought God that God has turned them away. I've never heard a story about someone who was seeking His face who was turned away. You know, the Lord is available. And He can fill those longings. You getting a little dry? You getting to where things of God aren't satisfying? Well, maybe you ought to check the diet. You know, there's some practical things that you can do to renew your hunger and thirst after the Lord, after His relationship, after His righteousness. Number one, as I would say, a real practical thing is start spending some time with Him. We were going through the high school class and we were discussing how does somebody get to be a best friend? You know, you spend time. They tell us as parents, they said, you know, you got to spend quality time with your children. Well, I think that's a farce. That's for busy parents who are guilty because they don't spend enough time with your children. You know what children need? Children need quantity time.
Right.
You spend as much time as you get, and you're filling gas at the gas station, and they may ask you, how does a person go to heaven? Or you're doing something else, and some profound thing might come out. But you don't sit down with a child and say, look, let's get some quality time right now. Come on, son, tell me, what's on your heart? Kids are going to say, nothing. It's exactly what they're going to tell you. But you spend time with that child, you build a relationship. What happens? Your relationship grows. It deepens. Thank God there were some Christian brothers that taught me that about my kids before I made the same mistakes that my fathers made before me. And going out and doing everything and never spending any time. You want to get to know God? You're hungering for a deeper relationship with God? It's not going to come out of the clouds. Your deeper relationship with God is not going to come as some sort of a flashing light on the street. It's going to come by deciding that you're going to spend time with Him.
That's right.
So I would say it's very simple. Put it into your calendar. Write it on your clock. From 5 o'clock to 5:15, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And then do it. You're going to find out that He's going to satisfy your longings. You know, that a lot of people aren't hungry for good food because they're full on junk food. If on the way home, I bought all my kids supersized fries, and they ate those fries with all that grease and all that salt, when we get home, do you think any of them are going to eat green beans? Not on your life. They ain't going to be hungry for them. But you know what? If I didn't feed them, and then I gave them those green beans, would the kid eat? He sure would. I had a neighbor said, and he had this little dog, and that little dog would only eat all this stuff that came out of a can, real expensive, you know? And he said, I just can't get him to eat dry dog food. I said, yeah, you can. No, I can't. He won't eat it. I said, yes, you can. Put all that stuff away. Put dry dog food out every day. I'll bet by the fourth day he's gobbling that stuff down. You know what the point is? The point is stop filling yourself up with things that don't satisfy. Well, I just don't get anything out of the Word when I read. Well, make a conscious decision. Why don't you trade? What are your reading habits now? Some people say none. Well, then get some. But for some of you, you read this and you read that and you read this and you read this over here and you read that and you read People magazine and you read The Woman's Day and then you read the sports page and you read this over that. Well, something's got to go. Why don't you decide? Why don't you make a commitment and say, from now on, instead of reading this, I'm going to read this right here. Don't you think you're going to get some benefit out of it? Of course. You have got to trade time. Every one of us only has 24 hours in a day. Nobody gets any more and nobody gets any less. So you have to make a conscious decision what to do with your time. Some of you only come to church on Sunday morning for the preaching hour and wonder why you're so spiritually anemic. Well, trade something off. I said, well, you know, if I came to church on Wednesday nights, I couldn't go to karate anymore. And man, if you know the angels that I know, you don't need karate. You just need prayer. You can leave the karate behind. Them angels are bad. They can whip 160,000 men in one night. And they can fight your battles. You don't need the karate. Put it aside and pick up a prayer meeting. Put that into your schedule. Take something out and put something else in. What I'm saying is you have a conscious decision. If you're hungering, if you're sitting around complaining that you're not closer with God, why aren't you closer? There ought to be something that you can do to get closer to God and to be filled with His Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit, He says, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Our spiritual life is like a sponge. You keep it dry, it'll soak up every sin so fast. But you fill that sponge with water, and it's amazing how little of the other things it'll soak in. Soak in the things that God has for you. Amen. Seek His face. I mean, do something about that hunger. Put away the spiritual potato chips and get out some spiritual good food and feed your soul. I think you'll find a difference in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there's some in this room that have completely lost their desire to serve You, to read Your Word, to seek after Your things. I pray that You would help them. I pray that You would rekindle their appetite. I pray that You would help them to adjust their spiritual diet so they could once again hunger and thirst after things that truly satisfy. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that's lost, that doesn't know You, that have tried everything else in the world and come up empty, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they call upon Your name and repent of their sins and ask You to be their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 249. The reason why we sing is to give you an opportunity to respond to whatever God has laid upon your heart. If you want to know how to be saved, then simply come down to the front. We'll get somebody with a Bible to open it up and explain to you more what it means to be saved. If there's something that you need to deal with God on, by all means, take the time to do it as we sing.